Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Final Reckoning Wrap-Up Podcast for Episode 8. I am Brian Cohen. With me, as always, is my co-host, Ali Lesher. Ali, how are you?
Brian, I'm embarrassed.
Oh, no. What happened?
I'm really embarrassed. I have nothing to contribute this week to the drinking game.
You didn't prepare anything on the fly? Now you're going to have to be like me. You're going to think of it on the spot.
No, It's like I watch the episode with an eye on the drinking game, and usually by the end of the episode, I have something right away.
Right.
I could come up with something. I could say, oh, whenever... I actually did think of one. Now I can't remember that one, but it was so basic. Like, I don't think we should necessarily feel pressured to have to add something every week. Because I have nothing. I don't feel like I have a good one.
That's right. I thought of one. It's not really that great. It's very, very basic. And it's like one that probably is included in like all other like normal drinking games for the challenge. So we probably don't have to include it. So that's fine. We can skip a week.
I want you to include your. No. You don't have to do everything I do. You're like my mom now. Like you could be your.
But it's not a good.
I realize, by the way, that was a very specific comment to my life that nobody will understand. But. You can do your own thing.
I just like brush off like all like any like the pro. Like, I was just assuming to move right on.
Yeah, no. Well, there's nothing else to ask. I'm just saying. I realize that will make no sense to anyone listening, including you. But the message is the same. Like, if you have a good one or one at all, you should contribute it. I should be ashamed for not having one.
So the only one that I thought of was, and this again, it's very boring, but like I felt this is also getting a little bit of a theme for this one about. Anytime someone is called a rookie and we keep even go off
what? That is what I was gonna say.
There we go. There's our one addition.
Sorry, I interrupted you halfway through your
I was gonna say, if we wanted to, we could even like spin it where it's like a rookie, like a previous, if you're with a rookie within the past two seasons and you think calling someone else a new rookie makes you better than. Like Cam being like a sophomore calling someone else a rookie, I think that could be funny.
Yeah, that's good. Because at first I was going to say anytime someone says rookie or veteran, you drink. But then I was like, that's just like going to be guzzling.
Right.
And then I just didn't have the creativity. So I think that's good in terms of like, it's just all of my rules are very personalized in terms of like when it makes you laugh that someone's calling someone a rookie.
Yeah, basically.
You drink.
Basically.
All right, I'll add a rule.
Okay, here we go.
And it will just be, to borrow from Haley and Amy and the Bachelor Hop-Up, confirmed coitus.
That's fair. That's a good one.
And you drink when it's confirmed. Either obviously on television or, like, the conversation the next day. If you're unclear.
That's fair. I can confidently say this was, like, our weakest additions to the games, I think. Because we've had some good ones, and this wasn't that great.
But I do agree that both of those are probably on just like your standard drinking game rules, which is surprising, though, because I thought this was a good episode. So I feel like there's no correlation between when you have a good rule and a good episode.
Yeah.
The quality of the episode does not dictate the quality of the rule.
Yeah. I think it's all you need like a moment for something to click. And I mean, this had moments, but not drinking game moments.
Well, what did you think of this episode? Did you like it, or am I on an island?
No, it's good. I every once in a while, I like lose track of like when I like forgot about worrying about when people come back into the game and how often that happens. And I kind of like got into a dark place where it's like, we're going to go a month and we're going to be at the same number of teams between the mercenaries. And next week we're getting another edition of the Redemption House people coming back. And even when more mercenaries, like I just went to like a dark place about the show, just like never ending. So that's on me. But I guess the episode itself is probably good.
That's fair. I mean, my life just moves on. And we kept like, if I did the challenge podcast for the next year, I probably wouldn't even notice. Like, that's
essentially
bad.
We've basically done that.
It's just sort of like, I think part of it is like when I'm, because I'm a student, that it just sort of like drops into my life. But I'm also on episode 35 of season 2 of Love Island, which puts me into almost 80 episodes of Love Island. So
that's incredible.
This seems like a breeze.
That's incredible. But aren't those also like half hour things? That's a little better.
No, they're like 45 minutes.
Oh, really? Oh, never mind.
Love Island is no joke. It's a lifestyle.
Wow.
Yeah, my friend's Hulu is gonna go out of use. She's probably gonna be pissed.
So do we have any drinking moments from this episode that hit?
You know what? If Dave is still not tagging me in it, I don't think we've heard from any of our
correspondents.
You know, from Hero to Zero, we're back to no people checking in about the drinking game.
This is what we get for being so confident, for swaying people away. No matter what now, no matter how many people we have doing stuff for us. Oh, that's so funny. I literally just got it. So there we go.
From Dane?
No, from Kyle Picard. As of 18
okay,
minutes
well,
ago.
He's now officially the chief party officer.
There we go.
It's declared. But Kyle, if you could get it to us, like, before 6 p.m. on Wednesday, you're in the clear.
Yes. But we have it, so I can read it off. So we have two discolored booze, which I can be honest, I don't even notice them anymore. Maybe that's just me.
Never.
But I never
noticed
it.
I never even noticed them in the beginning.
I just noticed the one time with Jemmy, because that was when she was in the Redemption House, and it was just, like, so clear as day. But, like, when the main house, I never really noticed it, so. And then a third person with self-given nickname had one. So that was it. So it was actually a pretty quiet drinking game episode.
I did notice that if you had asked me before he tweeted this to us, I knew Cam called herself like the queen in the beginning.
Yeah.
But that's all I hit. All right. Should we talk about this? I forget. I know we discussed this last week. I forget where we each came down on this. I don't think it makes any sense that the mercenaries would go to redemption if they didn't win the challenge.
You think it wouldn't make sense?
No. So we get a rule clarification. I remember last week we like speculated on whether or not they could go home or if they'd go to redemption. And just like from 1 minute to the next, I don't remember how I feel from one episode to the next. But I don't feel good that the mercenaries go on the show regardless of how they perform in the elimination.
Right. I know. I totally agree. And especially because it seems like we're going to have another mercenary like later in the season. So then it's even worse. But it's not, yeah, I mean, I think the point of them being mercenaries is that they should have to win, not lose, and then maybe win later, and then just stay there forever, because you never really leave the Redemption House until the season's over, basically, so they're going to have, what, three chances by the time it's all said and done? Not the best.
I guess two of them get booted at the double cross, but for the most part, you have a strong shot. But do we know, I don't think this is a spoiler, Devin is definitely one of the mercenaries. Do we know who Devin's partner is?
I do not.
Yeah, I don't either.
So,
I'm sure we could Google it, but why?
That's a dangerous path.
Somebody wrote that in like a nasty 5-star review this week. Like, if you want people Googling things, I'm like, Google's amazing. I'll stand Google.
Who's anti-Google? How do you be anti-Google? Google's like just knowledge.
I think it's more Google is knowledge. I wish we had merch. but no, I think it's more us that we probably shouldn't be Googling things during the show, but like, I know as a podcast listener, I'm listening to things, I'm like, oh, I don't know that. And then the podcast host is like, oh, I'll look that up. And I'm like, awesome, then I don't have to.
Yeah, excuse us for trying to be informed and informing everyone else.
But thanks for the 5 stars.
Right, always.
All right, let's talk about the actual challenge for this beep beep boop boo Armageddon.
Yeah, so we start off with an elimination, as an episode normally does. It was called No Slack, and it was a little similar to one they had earlier in the season where each partner has to break through a wall, basically. But this time they're attached to each other by a rope, and the other partner can't go until the other person finishes. And I think they each needed to break 3 holes in the wall to break through a door, and first team to get through all the slots wins.
Yeah, my first reaction to this was like, how the hell are Faith and Angela supposed to beat Hunter in this? But then it was very much like the sledgehammer pull where like you're only as strong as your weakest partner.
Yeah.
I still think this was like a little suspect in terms of being an equal challenge.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
No, it does.
Faith and Angela were going to win, but like to have a man like Hunter on one of the teams and then have two women on the other, to me, was just like reckless.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess the argument is at a certain point, you can't have them all be like completely equal, because you need to have some physicality. And I think this keeps the fairness a lot where you're forcing each partner to do it. So it was, if Ashley sucks, which she kind of did for a little while, then it does even it out. So I'm fine with it from a fairness standpoint. I mean, they would have won if it was probably like one less door necessary, or if it were two less doors. So they were close.
I think they also had an unfair advantage on the women's side because Angela, as a member of Bad Girls Club, probably punches through walls on the reg.
Yeah, and I'm sure Faith, you know, during like combat training, how to do stuff like this. Who knows? So she had that going for her.
Was Faith's injury the worst described injury of all time?
Yeah, it seemed like, I mean, honestly, I thought she like broke her wrist when she was doing it, but it seemed like all she said was she pushed her thumb into her hand, which, I mean, sounds painful, but does not sound nearly as painful as it looked.
No, what she said was her thumbnail went into her thumb. I thought that sounded torturous.
Oh, I thought she meant like she was like punching and then like when she loses like a closed fist and then the nail went like into the palm of her hand or something like that. But ew.
I thought she said her thumbnail went into her thumb. Maybe she said hand and then that sounds janky, but like not something to stop a challenge over. But what absolutely killed me is in the end shot where Faith and Angela are about to leave. Faith is holding her hand up like it's a broken wrist, and all it has is like a small band-aid around the thumb. And Angela's just swinging her arms around, and she actually has a wrap on her wrist.
Right, right. Yeah. Because, I mean, it did look incredibly painful, and with how good Faith was doing, I do buy that the injury greatly impacted her because she was cruising along, and then she just like fell flat.
Oh, I buy it, and it sounded absolutely miserable to me, but it just, the visual absolutely killed me of her, like, babying. It's like what I would do, like, oh my god, I'm so injured. It's like a little tiny paper cut. Band-aid.
Certainly not like when Tony turned green and almost died.
R.I.P.
Yep. RIP.
Well, Wick, also, so many double standards to call out this episode.
Ooh, fun one game. Of them, ooh, that could be another drinking game. That could be a podcast drinking game. Anytime Ali calls out a double standard.
No.
No.
I don't like that. if this one goes to the queen of double standard call outs, Kara, she's like, I want Faith and Angela out because their hands are in too many guys' pants.
Yep.
But hasn't Kara done Us Weekly interview after Us Weekly interview pounding a drum of like, don't slut shame me, Polly and I had a connection, I'm sorry about Polly's girlfriend. Like, if you don't want to be slut-shamed, you better stop slut-shaming these girls who are, like, able to be, I was going to say not in relationships, but that's not true. But, like, you know, like, get off it, Kara.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, they're each in one person's pants each, and one of them is in the pants that you want to be in. So those, like, cancel out. So, again, Kara makes no sense.
Speaking of no sense, were you familiar with the apparently very famous lavender ladies?
No, never heard it before in my life.
Now, what's the qualification of being a challenge super fan? Two goons with a podcast, does that put us into super fandom or no?
I think so. I mean, I think we're like normal person super fan. We're not like deep level super fan with like the weirdos, but I got, yeah, I think I'm a little bit more because I am like, I have probably some of these people that are angry at me, but other than that, like, I think we're normal super fans.
Well, thank you to the weirdos who listen to this podcast. Yeah. No offense. But when Shane is being very cheeky, very breaking the fourth wall, like, the super fans will know how this started. But, like, for those just tuning in, I'll give you a clue. I have never once heard the term lavender ladies on this show or even outside of the show.
Nope. And I don't even understand the lavender part. Where that comes from.
Is it possible that, like, Shane didn't watch last season, so he thinks, or Invasion, because he thinks, like, this self-given, like, alliance name or whatever, click name, was, like, a big part of the show because he said it all the time, but, like, the production never put it in the show?
Well, everything has to be part of the last two seasons, because remember, Ali, this is a trilogy which each of the last two seasons building off each other, so every season is relevant leading up to this one.
No, but I think he didn't watch it because I think he thinks we were introduced to the lavender ladies. I mean, like Shane, Amanda, Sylvia, and Ashley, we were aware that they were close, but I'm just talking about the name of the alliance. Yeah. To me is like bananas the way he, not bananas the human, bananas crazy that Shane was like, all you super fans are in on the joke. And we're like, who are you?
Yep. Nope, never heard of it. So,
all right, so that's a thing, apparently.
We found the track. Cool. Let's see what other alliance names can pop up along the way.
Not a great episode for Shane overall.
You know, it's funny. I didn't watch this episode until after, like, I watched it this afternoon, and I saw all the comments and people on social media pouring in, like roasting Shane, acting like he's, like, the worst human of all time. I didn't think, like, I thought what he did was not great from, like, a game perspective, but from, like, a personal perspective, there's been much worse that has gone down.
I don't think him, like, you mean, like, him throwing the challenge?
Yeah, I mean, and throughout the entire episode, I don't, he was, I think his intentions were pretty clear, and he wasn't doing anything, like, that mean to, like, really anyone. So, I thought, if anything, him, everything he did with Davon a couple weeks ago was far worse than him poking bananas and, like, throwing a challenge.
Well, I think it's the culmination of everything, right? Like, I think this comes on the heels of the Davon thing and Shane just being sort of generally insufferable this season. I thought this was overall a horrible episode for Shane, and not because he throws the challenge. I agree. I, like, think it was the right game move. I just think it's the way that Shane goes about every single thing he goes about. Like, if he were to call out bananas, fine. But the way he actually does it is he's like, Kara, you're not friends with us outside of the show, or like that. Like, he like makes these small little ninja attacks and then, like, can't actually stand up to the man himself when the time comes. And then he can't decide, like, to me, if you're going to throw a challenge, either pretend like you're trying. Like, I think it would have been very easy for Shane. It was generally an anonymous challenge, right? You can't really see what everyone's doing at one time. So if Shane was going to sort of, like, throw the challenge subtly, fine. Or own it and be like, look, you guys are going to vote me in. You guys are going to be the MVP. So I'm openly throwing it. But Shane is just a little weasel. And he goes like, oh, this was so hard. Or like, oh, I didn't understand the rules. Like, he tries to split the baby. And it's, to me, not enjoyable. Like, either be the quote villain and get in everyone's face, like, I'm making the strategic move, or make the game move and try to finesse it like you're not throwing it.
Yeah, because it's weird, because he was owning it for, like, a lot of it. Like, not even just in the confessionals, like, even to, like, Jose. He was like, yeah, I didn't throw it for us. I, like, threw it against you. Like, and, like, so he was calling out exactly what he was doing. But then, yeah, like, after the challenge he was making, like, oh, the rules are so complicated. I don't know if he was just trying to be, like, funny because he knew that everyone knew his intentions, but just completely owned it throughout the entire time. I kind of like with Cam last week, I thought the game plan, the opposite of Cam. I thought here he had the right mindset, but just did it poorly, where Cam, like, did the mindset, like, the mindset was wrong, but executed it. Like, that was good. Here, I 100% agree. Him throwing the challenge makes complete sense. Him doing it the way he did makes zero sense.
And that's, I don't even think, agree that he owned it from the whole time. Like, I think once the jig was up, I don't think he wanted people to actually believe he didn't know the rules, but he just was half, like, even during the challenge, he was like, oh, like, this is hard, like, fake running, you know, like, he was being, like, a goon about it. And it was just, to me, it was like a slap in the face to everyone. Like, you can throw the challenge because it's the right move, but it was like grating. It wasn't fun to watch. And then when it gets out of hand, then he steps to Jose about it. And then he waffles back to, like, I didn't know the rules. Because when the game ended, he said, I didn't know the rules, mm-hmm. and, like, laughed about it.
Yeah.
Insufferable to me.
Yeah, grating, insufferable, all those fit Shane. I think this was like Shane to the max. I mean, I don't know. I'm just not as anti-Shane as everyone else. I think it's, I mean, he's doing stuff that he thinks is furthering his game. This is why, like, to me, this is not nearly as bad as the Davon stuff, because that was just purely personal attacks. This was just him going about things poorly.
No, that's fair. Let's circle back really quick, because we all have more to talk about the challenge and with Shane. But, like, there's a quick moment with Bananas when the mercenaries come back into the game. And, you know, I have a complaint because Bananas really has taken the fun out of podcasting about him, because he makes himself look so bad in these moments that it's just, like, too easy. And there's nothing to, like, really harp on about. Like, when he says the game's not fair, I'm, like, shouting at the TV, like, 50,000 different things about, like, fair, like, you're not fair. And then TJ does it for me, putting him in his place.
Yeah, TJ. TJ is the voice of the people, calling him out for when he entered on invasion.
Also because I never don't have anything to say, even though I just said I don't have anything to say. In addition to nothing for bananas ever, like nothing ever being fair in everything always favoring bananas usually, he got a bye in the first week of this season.
Yeah. Yep.
So like, let's talk about fairness.
And he also returned from Redemption House in another season too. So he's had plenty of other things that have gone his way. So yeah, definitely not one to throw stones at the rules.
We get another peek at the Redemption House when Angela and Faith enter. Are they the first to complain about the actual house itself not being nice?
Yeah, I think everyone else has been pretty happy with the accommodations. Although I guess for a lot of people, they're just like strictly happy to be still in the game. I guess they all kind of knew at the time. But yeah, they were the only people to really complain about the living conditions.
That was my thought. You should be happy to go to Redemption. I think because Redemption has been such an active part of this season, as opposed to just like a one or two, you know, it's not far from their minds.
Yeah.
That they're just taking it for granted now. They're like, from mansion to a cottage. I'm like, you're lucky to be in that cottage.
Yep. Plus, they're like, so they're the fourth team, so maybe it's more crowded than for other people. So there could be that too.
And Jose and Devon are talking about how Cam has sort of been too cocky, like on her throne. Are they right? Is Cam getting too big ahead for a 1 year veteran?
Yeah, and I think we've seen this, you know, many times before. Someone who has like a decently strong rookie year gets a lot of praise in between seasons from like all the Twitter people stanning her and all that. And then she comes into the season and, you know, she gets off to a good start and she thinks she's running shit. But as we discussed last week or 2 weeks ago, her whole giant conspiracy move wasn't even that great to begin with. So she's got a long way to go in this game and even just the challenge as a whole to like really quote unquote earn her stripes.
Are you surprised we didn't hear more talk about that move that kind of just sort of died on the table this week?
A little bit. I think it may pick up more now once we get to another round of voting. Because I mean, we didn't, that was the last round of voting, and here we just had the elimination and then all the challenge stuff leading up to it. So we didn't get another sense of people speculating, oh, were they doing this to throw people off from a vote? So maybe the next time we have a vote, which will probably be in 2 weeks, we'll see how that goes.
We got a question I wanted to ask. Dang it. Well, it was something about Devon having a really good episode. Sorry, I didn't pull it. But the reason I wanted to ask it now is because this Shane and Devon moment to me was an incredible moment for Devon.
Yeah, this is where she shines. As she said, she knows she's a BSer, so it can't BS a BSer.
It's also incredible that Shane thinks this would work. Like, he needs to take his own advice. He's telling her, don't isolate yourself and hold grudges. Like, he's now laser focused on getting a team that's not really a huge threat to him out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's still pretty focused on getting bananas out, but I guess he's still working his way up the totem pole. I guess this is his mindset.
I guess I just mean from, like, he says in that interaction, like, I will make sure they don't see a penny. Like, I'm just telling her this. Like, but what, like, he's holding a grudge immediately after this conversation with her.
Yeah. No, it's not great. And it is, I mean, Devon and even Jose, when Devon tells him the conversation, they're of no interest in working with him, knowing that is a complete crock of shit. And, you know, it's good on them. And a lot of times you see rookies come in, and anytime someone tries to offer them any type of allegiance, or even after they screw them over and they try to like mend fences, they may be more inclined. But it's good on them for recognizing where someone really stands.
I do love that you're like kind of emerging as a Shane apologist.
Am I? I mean, I think he's just getting such a bad rap that it doesn't even take much to be an apologist at this point.
I just think it's great. Like, I like that you're like, well, you're not standing Shane, but like, you're probably the closest person who's willing to say something positive that's not Shane.
Yeah, I mean, I like people who are trying to do things to what they think will further their game. So I appreciate that. Whether it's smart or it's good is a whole different discussion, but at least he's doing it, as opposed to plenty of other people who are just kind of fading off into the background.
I have a statement from Umberto from the thread in the patron group this week. I thought it was going to be pretty safe to say I was actually, I didn't like Shane, But I was surprised as I scrolled through the questions this week how many people just trash Shane. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a representative sample, but I really do like that you're standing here. But I will read the statement from Humby. He said, "I just want to say that in the name of bitchy gays all over the world, we don't all support Shane, and he is not a fun representation of who we are. We like shade, not meanness." So there you go.
There you go. Again, I also don't even think he's being that mean. So that's just me, though. Maybe I have a higher bar for meanness on the challenge.
Well, you're the Shane Whisperer here, so maybe you can explain this fight between him and Bananas. Like, I felt like there were a lot of layers to this that ultimately started with him coming for Kara. And I was also surprised that this even bothered Bananas. Can you sort of, like, break this down for me?
I mean, I think for Bananas, I think what Shane is saying is actually, and I think also what Amanda was saying in her confessionals is pretty right, that he is a little more worried just because, as we've noted and he's noted, the amount of veterans, that anyone that can even become close to a veteran, is getting slimmer and slimmer by the season. So he really is out on an island, and all these people are now starting to rally against him, and Shane calls him out on that and is getting a little worried. And I think part of that is true, but then it's also difficult for Shane to call him out, because when push comes to shove, if it's Bananas versus Shane, I think Bananas will win every time. And especially for Shane, who doesn't seem to, like, he has friends, but I don't think a lot of them fully support him, especially just the way he's going, how they view it, how he's going about it. So he's in, like, a weird spot where I think he's in the right, but I think he's turning people off.
Interesting. I think I didn't buy into the narrative that Bananas was shaken. Like, when the narration is coming from, like, Shane and Amanda, I'm sort of like, eh. Like, when you look at the power of the season and you look at the people who have won, with the exception of Cam and Kaylee, it's still all Bananas camp. It's Amanda and Zach. It's Brad and Kyle. It's Tony and Bananas. Like, I still don't buy that Bananas is shaken. Like, yes, it's not as easy as him to win, for him to win, as it's been. And yes, there are more rookies than there are vets. But I still think, for the most part, the power players, the good athletes, are sticking together. Even with, like, when Tori comes in, she's still deferring to the veterans. Like, Kyle is still a rookie. He's in with the veterans. He was last season too. Like, I do still think that there is this, like, little bit of a protection that Bananas has. And I don't agree that him coming to Shane in this moment was him scrambling. I feel like Bananas is scrambling. We've seen him work from the bottom before. Like, we see Bananas get a team together. This was like, Shane, please stop telling everyone I'm an asshole. Like, it's really getting annoying. Like, I didn't think that this had to do, or I didn't buy the narrative that this had so much to do with his insecurity in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's really scrambling. And I mean, it's tough. Like, he has to, I do think he's worried that he doesn't have a lot of numbers, but I don't think this is him. It's tough. I think this was him generally just being upset about Shane just always having, this is a great reality TV quote, always having his name in his mouth. And I think he's, like, tired of that. So I think that was, like, more the confrontation. But I don't think he would even address it if he wasn't worried at all that his standing wasn't great.
Yeah. But I also think Bananas has to know the format so works in his favor. Like, nobody wants to put him in because they have no control over who goes against him and they have no protection. And Cam wasted her best move.
Right.
Like, I don't think Bananas is going to win this season. And if he does win, I don't think it's going to be easy. But I just felt like this argument seemed, like, much more personal over, like, years of their veteran history than it did any sort of, like, I might not win this season.
Yeah, and I'm sure that also plays a part of it. The fact that it's coming from Shane, that Bananas has dealt with for many years, that he's probably had to deal with his level of chirping, that I'm sure from Shane's perspective, it's probably also a little bit of jealousy about the amount of success that Bananas has had, and he hasn't had success, and he wants to try to knock him down a peg, and that's probably why he's firing shots, and then Bananas is dealing with it for so many years that he can only take so much, and this is when he finally just calls him out and just tell him to pipe down.
Right. All right, let's talk about the confirmed coitus that then the Redemption House gets to see via surveillance.
Yeah, I mean, basically, Kyle called a shot the second Ashley stepped foot in the elimination, that he was happy, you know, Faith is going out. Ashley's coming in, and he's like, "Oh, that'll be my new one."
That was so gross. But in a way that, like, he pulls it off. It's just like, I just don't even think Kyle's a real person.
It's the accident. It has to be. That's why he pulls it off.
I don't think it's the act. When I say when he pulls it off, like, I don't take him seriously as a person. Like, that's why he pulls it off, because I'm like, oh, what an idiot. More than I'm like, oh, swoon, it's fine.
Right.
You know, like, I just, like, think Kyle says that, and he means it. But I also just think, maybe it's because I think it's, like, you know what you're getting. Like, he's a complete public douchebag. I don't know.
Yeah.
More on that later.
And it's also Ashley also involved, so it's not like, I mean, I think she veers towards the Kyle side of the perspective also, so it's not like he's corrupting, like, this innocent little angel.
Well, also Faith, that's maybe also why, like, Faith, they show Faith, and she's like, I just wish she respected me as a woman. You are famous. Like, she made a name for herself and got cast on X on the Beach for sleeping with a man who had a girlfriend.
Right.
Like, that is what makes you famous. So why are you, like, acting like you deserve some sort of respect when you weren't even with him? Like, I was surprised she actually cared. I didn't think she would actually care.
I think she only cares because it's being shown in her face, right? I think if she kind of hears about it, it's a lot different. Anytime there's video, it makes things a lot worse.
I like that they showed that moment, though. Like, that was probably one of the better uses of the Redemption House surveillance this season.
I agree. I definitely agree.
All right, so let's get to the main challenge. What was it? Like, don't push me over. Don't hit me.
Yeah, don't push me around. Do you want to discuss their little
push me around?
Little winery outing that they're we've upgraded from club scenes to wineries now. That's what's happened on the challenge.
I might have missed that. Seriously.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Right before the challenge, they had a little winery getaway.
Did something happen?
Nothing happened, but it was, I mean, that this is kind of what sparked the, after this is when the Shane and Bananas thing happened, but that I think that's when Shane got drunk, and that's what led to it, but nothing actually happened when they're on their little winery.
Oh, yeah, okay, we talked about that, though, because that's when they're on the bus, and she's staying with Karen.
Yeah,
no recollection of the winery, though, but we talked about it. Anything else to talk about with that?
Oh, that's it.
Oh, okay. I admit, like, that is how I watched this at 4 p.m. today. No recollection of them being at a winery. I remember the bus home.
That's how quickly things flow right out of the mind.
All right, so don't push me around, not don't push me over.
Yeah.
I literally wrote don't push me over ? I forget and didn't feel like rewinding.
So this show is basically a game of rugby, another team game, which is kind of weird they're doing this again. And once again, the winning team from last week gets to pick which group of four they want to join. So Cam and Kaylee pick Kyle and Brad's team.
I don't mind the team aspect. I do not like the vote on who's the power couple.
I also don't like when they do it with odd number of teams and now one team has more people.
Yeah, that's also stupid.
I mean, I guess,
but like from,
just saying, I guess they want the moment of like, ooh, you can pick your team. It should almost be like you pick a team and like someone else has to sit out or something. I don't know, something, but I don't, especially for this type of challenge where definitely more people helps. So not a great look.
Well, they'd have to eliminate a team to make it even, and that won't happen for a month.
Nope.
So yeah, the teams are Cam and Kaylee, Cara Marie, Kyle and Brad, Zach and Amanda, Hunter and Ashley against Bananas and Tony, Shane and Nelson, Sylvia and Josh, Jose and Davon, with Shane actually playing for the orange team, really.
Yep. So, I mean, I think she made the right choice, or they both made the right choice. So, I think it was the clear one.
Jacob Robin, we both kind of said that we think this is a good move. We actually got two people saying that this was a bad move from Shane. So Jacob said, what is Shane doing? Does he not realize by blatantly sabotaging it makes him the target? And why doesn't Nelson try to put a stop to this?
Oh, no.
Why is this a good move from your perspective?
So, no, I think it's a good move doing it discreetly. I think the second you make it wildly known that this is what you're doing, it's very stupid. I think it makes complete sense that why he wouldn't want them to win. And it kind of goes to what we discussed last week when there was like the first team to get across. If you win, then they're the power couple. Why no one decided to throw it? It goes right into that realm, and this time Shane implements it, but you can't do it where you're sitting on the ground with your arms folded and you're like doing it like that. You need to do it very discreetly.
Which, while I understand Jose's frustration, I had two issues with how angry Jose got. Because one, there was no chance that he was going to be the power team. Unless Shane was like, because I could see maybe Shane and Nelson and Sylvia and Joss deciding to just vote for Devon and Jose as the lesser of two evils between Bananas and Tony and Jose and Devon. But, like, I didn't see a world where Jose really, besides that, was the power couple. And so then why does he care? Like, is like, if you lose, we all lose. Well, everyone loses except one team.
Yeah.
Like, one individual couple.
I think he just, for the pride aspect of it, I mean, that was, like, the cut we got from Tony, right? It's like, this is war, this is battle, we're laying our lives on the line, and he's doing this. So, people have pride.
I don't know. I guess it doesn't really show in Jose's song that he has pride. Boom, roasted. What did you think of the song? Because you can't buy better publicity. Shane actually gave Jose a huge solid by mentioning his rap single, because then MTV used it in the challenge.
Yeah, I kind of wish they used it like during the cut of when Shane was in the confessional and then like playing it over him talking. I think that would have been funnier. But yeah. Good for Jose getting that little plug. I don't think they really do that for anyone else, if anyone else has any type of music going on.
I was absolutely stunned. When Joss recreates it, Edward Morris says, was this the new peak Joss, when he has the little yellow gloves?
Yep.
Did you like that moment from Joss?
So was Joss the one where you said we might not see another great Joss moment for the rest of the season?
Yes.
So I guess we saw another good Joss moment.
I totally disagree.
So I thought it was funny.
My reaction to this was Joss is so boring that he can't even complete a bit that was obviously given to him by production.
But that's what makes it funny, right?
Here, Joss, we'll do a fun moment. And he just starts laughing and cuts it short. I didn't think it was funny.
I think his simpleness made it funny. I think if you do it too well, it gets a little creepy. But, him doing it so poorly makes it funny.
I guess. I didn't mind it when he was, doing it poorly and simply, but when he just started laughing at himself and couldn't complete the bit, I was like,
yeah,
okay, you can't even do this. But people liked it, so that's good.
Funny screenshot, at least.
So Zach and Amanda are made the MVPs. I thought this was an obvious sort of decision from the team.
Yeah, so, I mean, is there anyone in that team that would, is there anything anyone's going to regret this, this vote?
Let's see. So it was Kara, Maria, and Marie, Kyle and Brad, Zach and Amanda, Hunter and Ashley. I mean, maybe Hunter and Ashley, but I don't really think they had a say at all. But if those three teams would probably be able to make the deciding without them.
Yeah.
Oh, and Cam and Kaylee are on that team too.
Yeah, so I mean, I think everyone should be pretty cool with it. I don't think they're going to be their target, so I think they should be fine.
I think they're an easy choice because they did seem to be the best team overall in the game. But they also, as we've talked about with Zach and Amanda, they kind of have connections to every alliance in the house. So I'm sure a lot of people think, oh, Amanda has my back, that's fine if she's the power couple. And a lot of people think, oh, Zach has my back, so it's fine if he's in the power couple. So they're sort of like an easy, unanimous decision from all of the sides of the house.
Yeah, but now it's almost getting to a point where it might be a little too dangerous for Zach and Amanda to keep winning these things, because now you're going to start to piss people off. And now you might have some people feel betrayed and then they're going to come back. So maybe chill out with the winning for a little bit.
They've only won once, though.
Oh, this is now their second.
Right. But I'm saying they've only won once. Look, I think that's fair, but I also still think they're in a safe spot where I would say, barring a big move being decided by half the house, they're 100% voting for Jose and Devon.
Yeah, I'd probably agree.
I think Zach likes to stay in his lane of people he's already pissed off and would feel reasonably confident that they wouldn't be selected to go in, and if they did, that they could win.
Yeah, I think that's the most likely scenario.
Oh, we have a funny question from Edward Morris who says, how many episodes before Ashley threatens to quit?
Just wait till someone takes away her toilet.
I was going to say, I think it's possible when the next couple comes back from redemption and, like, tells her that Faith saw them sleep together, that that could somehow set her off unreasonably.
Yeah, anything could set Ashley off unreasonably, so.
Well, that's the thing. She's so unpredictable that I could see, depending on the day, she would, like, laugh it off and be like, whatever, I'm a free woman. Or she would have a complete mental breakdown about it.
Throw hot oil at someone's face or something like that.
Very specific.
Well, she did that.
I know. Okay. All right, we have a couple 5-star reviewers to thank before we get to Twitter. But do we have anything else to talk about from this? This episode was just sort of like neat and tidy.
Yeah, well, you got an elimination, got a challenge, got a winery, so not at all.
You got a winery. I apparently didn't get that. So thank you to Kellicor's one-on-one, Maggie Ray 47, and Grasshopper 12345, who says that Nashville is the place to go for bachelor parties, but no clue if that's right. So there you go.
There you go. Good note.
Thank you to everyone for your reviews. If you want to add your 2 cents, you can do so at robinsonwebsite.com/challenge iTunes. We really appreciate it.
Please do.
All right, let's get to the Twitter. Again, usually I try to read Megan Elizabeth, our digital communications manager, email before we go live. I did not do that this week, so it will be a fun adventure.
Buckle up.
I guess Pauly writes for Us Weekly. So if you want to get his take on this episode, you can do so.
Is any bigger indication about the state of media? Media, there you go.
I'm just gonna read the first sentence of this. Well, 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 here I am minding my own.
It's starting with well, well, well is all you need to know.
Well, 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 here I am minding my own business, trying to stay out of all these high school challenge 32 Twitter beefs, but it looks like Us Weekly has different plans for me.
Oh,
I have to keep reading. I'm sorry. Yes. Wait, so it looks like, oh, another, it looks like, 2 sentences in a row. So he says, it looks like Us Weekly has different plans for me. So it looks like your new favorite challenger, who you love so much, has his own weekly recap for all of you to tweet about. Wait, is it love or love to hate? Either way, go F yourself, because I'm serving up these recaps the only way I know how to. Oh. Oh, there's a typo in this?
Shocking.
It's T-O-O. Okay, anyway. The only way I know how to. Long, hard, and raw. Just like my sex life. Oh. I can't believe this is real. I can't
this
believe
isn't a this is real. This, are we sure this is not a parody?
For those of you who are easily offended, I'll do my best to keep the F-bombs to a minimum. Let's begin. Oh my god, I think we should cancel the podcast and just read his blog and record it every week.
My favorite part of you going is you going in and out of trying to do a Pauly imitation while reading it. It's the best.
I didn't plan to, but his language is written so in his voice that it just like comes out. But I just can't believe he said
just incredible.
Long, hard, and raw, just like my sex life. Oh my god,
that was
amazing.
A joke you could see coming, staring at you with headlights, and you're like, just is he gonna go do it? Is he gonna, yes he is, he's gonna do it.
Well, you don't need to say it, like the joke is made by just saying long, hard, and raw,
right. But that's,
he doesn't need to explain,
but that's Pauly.
Oh my god, also on the Big Brother recaps, Rob has been, when he plugs the challenge and he says the challenge 32 final reckoning starring Pauly Califiore and friends, it kills me. It kills
us. Weekly writer Pauly Califiore.
Oh my god, I might have to just send this to Rob. It's so funny. I won't, but I thought about it.
That's anyway. All that counts. You thought of it and then you changed your mind after 1 second.
Sometimes I don't understand what these people are tweeting about. Someone said, oh, Shady Shane, the Mean Queen, said the Equalizer was shorter rope and thicker walls for Hunter Barfield and Ashley. I imagine Ashley didn't have thicker walls.
Probably not.
Jose tweeted, "I'm so humbled and blessed. Thank you." Crying emoji at Buna Murray and MTV and the Challenge MTV for believing in my song. Don't miss the debut of my new single. And Cara Marie retweeted it, said the song is lit. And Marie said, "One thing we agree on."
There you go. The Josiah the Messiah. I would love to have
the technological capabilities to play the song, but we don't.
Nope. Ooh, should we Google?
I could Google it and I could listen to it. And you could listen to it. And then the listeners could listen to us in silence listening to the
That's
song.
That's great podcasting stuff right there.
We've probably done worse.
Oh, we definitely have done worse.
Hunter Barfield said, "We had a shorter rope, and I couldn't go until Ashley had busted through," which was exactly the same as the other team, but okay. "Didn't really show the damage I was putting on those walls, but the wrist held up just fine. Now it's time to figure this game out. Hashtag TYB.
TYB. Thank you, boy.
Thank you, boys. Time, ya boy.
I wonder what Ty's up to.
I actually think the challenge when they do a takeover, something like Shane did a bunch of videos from other people. I don't think Tyree was there.
Hmm.
What does Tybe mean?
I don't know. That's TYB. That's.
I don't want to Google it. God forbid.
You do another tweet. Let's see if I can Google.
Try your best.
He did not hashtag try your best. What? Oh my God, Hunter.
Okay, moving swiftly on. Some of these are so stupid. All right, so Shane tweeted, "It's been 17 years since my first show, then my Out magazine cover. Most impactful gay man of the year award. My first season of the challenge. My casting as one of the fan favorites for the last season of Real World. Row Rules. And my return to the challenge. So jealous of what again?" Laugh cry emoji. Delusional.
I feel like that could be a shot at Shane if said the other way.
Well, wait. Davon wrote, "Woo, we're pulling out magazines and stats from 1902.
Yeah, like, I'm not so sure what Shane's, like, saying. Like, "Oh, it's been 17 years and my life hasn't changed. Go me."
I think what he meant to say is, like, over the last 17 years, this is what I've been doing. But he wrote it as though all of these things happened 17 years ago and, like, that's all he has to show for it. Yeah,
so not the best bragging, Shane. That was, like, a humble brag that was, like, too humble.
Then Cara and Johnny did some annoying things. Let's leave it at Shane and Davon's clapback. That was a good one. Yeah,
next time we'll do closing segments with Paulie's U.S. Weekly column.
Oh, my God, that was so funny. I forgot that happened. I'm going to read that every morning just to start my day with a laugh.
Oh, my God.
You know, get off on the right foot.
That's the way to start the morning.
Are you watching the new season of Are You the One?
I am. Bria. Whew. Drop her. This just make her a mercenary. Let's just, like, get that real quick.
It's funny. Adam and I talked about, so I'm bringing this up to plug the podcast that I do with Adam Bongiovanni on the same feed, so you guys have no excuse not to be listening to it. It seems like a good season. Seems like a fire season. I have a controversial relationship with Are You the One, but I talk about it in the first few moments of the podcast. You should check it out. But we talked about, like, I was like, all right, Bria's getting a all expenses direct one way ticket to the challenge universe. But Adam did bring up, like, you know, there are definitely people we thought would be on our, like, the challenge right away. And the fact that, like, Keith and Alexis aren't on this season, or, like, you know, some of the other people, I feel like when we used to podcast Are You the One, or now that Adam and I do, we always like, oh, that person's definitely going to be on the challenge. And then we never see them again. So do you think Bria really will be on the challenge, or she will be lost to the memory.
I mean, I would think, but that's a good point. I mean, who were like, yeah, I mean, I guess they really haven't brought on many new RA the One people, right? I mean, it's really just like Hunter and Nelson. Like, those are like the mainstays at this point. And Tori. Well, and Tori, yeah. And Cam. Like, is there anyone Alicia. New this season?
I
feel like they're now just like branching out to like other shows.
Well, Amanda's already the one. In terms of noob, I don't think so.
So what could help her cause, and this isn't spoilery really at all, but like, have you seen any reports on the next season's casting / theme?
Yes, I have.
So if you really are that spoiler averse, I guess like jump ahead like 20 seconds, but it seems like the next season is like similar to like a Fresh Meat, where I think it's going to be half people who are on the challenge and then half completely new people. So that could help bolster Bria's chances.
Oh, I'm cracking up because I thought you meant, two things. When you say Fresh Meat, would that be like people from other shows?
I think it's other shows. Yeah, I think it's other shows.
Which is basically this seat. Like, I don't know. I thought you meant the casting for next season of Ari the One.
Oh,
which
no.
Is very interesting. But say, it doesn't matter. Right. And that will be a nice little blind item to take people into. I guess I don't know what a blind item is. I've said that before. But anyway, it'll be a nice little teaser to tune in to the next Ari the One podcast, where Adam and I will talk about the casting calls for Ari the One.
Perfect. And to listen to all that, you can subscribe to both shows at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And
That's correct.
They can follow me on Twitter at @ColinBryan_. They can follow you
at @LashTweets.
Until next time for this, until later on this week for Are You the One? Have a good one.